Journey guitarist Neil Sean says he's open to the idea of reuniting with Steve Perry, the voice behind that band's greatest 1980s hits. Perry's kind of been a recluse since the mid-1990s, but he returned to the stage after two decades joining the Eels in St. Paul, Minnesota, singing one of Journey's greatest hits. Come on, you know it. Everybody does. If you had a cigarette lighter, wouldn't it be aloft? Now, the Eels attract a pretty hip audience, but everyone was up and singing by the end of the set. Maybe they didn't know that early reviews called Journey's music banal, plodding, a dank hole of Drek-Ola. I'm betting that some who did know stood anyway, because according to our next guest, Journey represents the very best of schlock music, and that is a compliment. Jody Rosen is pop music critic for New York Magazine and Vulture.com. His article is titled In Defense of Schlock Music, Why Journey, Billy Joel, and Lionel Richie Are Better Than You Think. It's a celebration of the triumph of schlock music, and Jody joins us from the Argo Studios in New York. Welcome.
Thanks, Robin. Good to be here.
Explain why schlock is good.
My argument is that this music kind of fulfills the role, the sort of most important role that music can fill, which is to appeal baldly and unembarrassedly to the emotions. It's not stuff we deem good taste or what is thought to be, you know, proper art. It's kind of raggedly emotional. And, you know, that's kind of the trump card that music holds over the other arts, I think, is the fact that it's the most visceral and ineffable of the arts. It really just, you know, hits you in the stomach. So this music kind of teleports you past the point where you're self-conscious about what it is that you're supposed to be liking, and you just sing along or hold your lighter aloft.
You have no choice. Hey, let's listen to another one from Journey, Don't Stop Believin'. This one, it had just excoriating reviews, as you kind of sum it up by saying that critics considered Journey just like that moldering foodstuff that you dread finding in the back of your refrigerator. Let's listen to Don't Stop Believin'. Hey, Jody, streetlight people live in just to find emotion hiding somewhere in the night. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make any sense, really. I mean, you know, he's very broadly sketching a kind of beautiful loser. Part of what I point out in this piece, or what I like about this sort of music, is the meaninglessness, the doggerel, isn't a problem. The fact that Steve Perry's singing about streetlight people, I don't really know what a streetlight person is.
They're out
there.
It
doesn't matter. I feel like one when I listen to the song.
Well, as you say, schlock at its finest is where bad taste becomes great art. It's music that subjugates all other values to brute emotional impact. Tell us more about the etymology of the word schlock.
Well, schlock comes from a Yiddish word, schlack, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, and my bubby of blessed memory would kill me if she heard this. But in any case, it's a word which refers to kind of cheap secondhand goods. Actually, a secondary meaning, this is something I didn't know coming in, but a secondary meaning of the word schlock in Yiddish is epileptic fit or something along those lines, which also makes a little sense if you've seen some of these performances, if you've seen, you know, Steve Perry on stage or
well, there's some people
on stage. But one of the points that I want to emphasize in the piece is that I'm not just referring, for instance, to 80s power ballads, although I 100% embrace 80s power ballads. Schlock is a kind of musical gesture, I guess you'd say. It's a genre, it's a type of music that thrives in many, many across the board in all sorts of idioms, and its history is quite deep. In fact, the history of schlock really is the history of American popular music.
Give us some examples of that, because you do, you know, on the list, you know, number one is Judy Garland, Over the Rainbow. You take it all the way back to any kind of Americana songs that sing about some, maybe an illusion of a more perfect former place.
For instance, if you look at sentimental Irish ballads that Irish immigrants brought over here in the mid-19th century.
Danny Boy.
Danny Boy. Danny Boy's an example.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are cool.
And then, of course, there's the tradition of blackface minstrelsy. There's a lot of really, I mean, a very problematic tradition, but there were all these great songs, for instance, the ones written by Stephen Foster, which are putatively written, you know, in the voice of African-American protagonists longing for the old plantation. Now, these, again, this is problematic stuff, but this music is at the kind of bedrock of American popular song traditions.
When I was playing with my brother,
have an African-American, Paul Robeson, singing Old Folks at Home, another Stephen Foster tune, the Holy Grail of Dixieland nostalgia schlock. You have Al Jolson's My Mammy, blackface minstrelsy, Jewish schmaltz. They all collide in Al Jolson's endlessly weird, boundlessly schlocky signature number.
Mammy, mammy, the sun shines east, the sun shines west, I know where the sun shines best.
And I can see people reading this list and starting it off and thinking, yeah, I sort of agree with you. Journey's there at number three. You got Lionel Richie, Endless Love, Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love. But wait a minute. Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now?
Yeah, this is part of my point, is that we will say, okay, Journey, that's schlock, but Bruce Springsteen, Joni Mitchell, these kind of canonical figures are thought to be somehow in a different category. Now,
yes,
maybe they are in a different category because they've written a lot of great songs and these are great artists. But you mentioned Both Sides Now. That's obviously a gorgeous song. It's a very kind of, I suppose you'd say, philosophical lyric. The one that I include on the list is Joni Mitchell's kind of re-recording of that song in the year 2000, and not as a kind of gentle folk ballad, but as a big, pretty grandiose, almost Frank Sinatra, Nelson Riddle style pop ballad with full orchestra. And that, to me, really kind of captures the essence of that song, which is, in the best sense, its schlocky heart.
Rose and flows.
What? This is beautiful. That's Joni Rosen, pop music critic for New York Magazine and Vulture.com, on the joys of schlock music. I was with him until this one. Your vote for schlock songs at hereandnow.org.
And feather canyons everywhere.
We're taking a break from headlines today, listening to pop songs that music critic Joni Rosen calls schlock, but in a good way. At the top of Joni's list, Judy Garland's ravaged rendition of Over the Rainbow at Carnegie Hall in 1961, 22 years after she first introduced the song.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way off.
Number four, country legend George Jones' 1980 weeper, He Stopped Loving Her Today.
This time, he's over her for good. He stopped loving her today. It placed a wreath upon his door. And soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today.
Also in the top 10, Ray Charles' America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self?
They're all from the list of 150 greatest schlock songs ever. Feel free to nominate yours at hereandnow.org. Joni Rosen is pop music critic for New York Magazine and Vulture.com. His piece is In Defense of Schlock Music, Why Journey, Billy Joel, and Lionel Richie Are Better Than You Think. And Joni, you write about a straight line you can draw from old schlock to new, maybe not even yet defined a schlock, a line you draw from Bette Midler's From a Distance right through Cher's Believe to Katy Perry?
Yeah, I mean, schlock kind of reflects the times. So our current moment, we're in sort of like a, you know, therapy culture moment, where a lot of the what you listen to when you hear Top 40 radio, a lot of it are kind of ballads of self-esteem, sort of pep talks, a little bit Oprah Winfrey in there. I call this music Oprah opera. So Katy Perry's Roar, which I think is a great song, you know, sonically, production-wise, yeah. It's a very modern-sounding song. It's got a very emphatic beat. The production is quite up to date. The lyrics are really a chimerical mishmash of all kinds of old things, because there's references to We Are the Champions, Queen's very schlocky 1970s ballad. There's references to Eye of the Tiger, the great Rocky III theme song. There's references to Helen Reddy's I Am Woman in there, which I think is kind of feminist schlock. And so what we've got is a kind of pep talk song for anyone who sings along to feel good about themselves or better about themselves, which to me is kind of archetypally 2013, 2014 sentiment.
Well, it's even got a little of the Little Drummer Boy in it with the pum 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 pum. Let's listen, please, to Katy Perry. Jody, our engineer of the program, who's really loves music, John Parati, wondered where this fell on your list. Let's listen.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
Now, I love that song, and yet in the context of this conversation, that is so overblown, even in the first word.
As for where that song falls on my list, it's somewhere in the 30s. There are five songs written by Lionel Richie on this list. And in fact, one of the things that motivated me to write this in the first place is my absolute adoration, my love of Lionel Richie, who I think is an overlooked figure. You know, he's the biggest hitmaker of the 1980s besides people like Prince and Madonna and Bruce Springsteen, all of whom are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And yet Lionel Richie is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oversight.
This is a gross injustice. Mm-hmm. But he is a great songwriter. And he points out something I think very important about schlock, which is that schlock is music that embraces kind of voluptuousness and beauty, pure melodic beauty. If our aesthetics are such that, you know, this pure beauty is somehow viewed as bad taste or déclassé, I think there's some kind of messed up priorities there.
Well, there's no other way we cannot listen to what you call one of the great schlock masterpieces of all time, Lionel Richie's Endless Love with Diana Ross. It builds to the rapture. It is, it's biblical.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Or, yeah, it's biblical in the sense of a man and a woman having biblical knowledge of one another. Let's put it that way. It's sensual rapture, right? But also it's just that the melody just comes at you in wave after wave, crescendo after crescendo. It doesn't really even sound like a normal pop song. It's just kind of like this flow of beauty. That said, it's really corny. But who cares?
Someone here just said it's the bolero of pop.
If we had just schlock and it was not leavened by anything else, it would be oppressive. And maybe that's why at various moments in musical history there's been such disdain for it. We're at this moment right now where we've seen a kind of new formation of kind of a new great American songbook, if you will. And one of its notable features is that so many of these power ballads of the last few decades are in there. You know, if you see what they sing on The Voice or American Idol or on Glee, or most importantly, karaoke. What are the karaoke go-to songs? It's all these schlock ballads. It's Billy Joel. It's Lionel Richie. It's Def Leppard. It's you name it, right? And so, in a way, part of my point in this piece is that, hey, schlock really is the people's choice, and this is utilitarian music. Okay, we turn back to schlock when there's a wedding, or there's a funeral, or there's a holiday, or a great national calamity. I mean, think of September 11th, when all of a sudden all the senators gathered on the steps of the Capitol saying, God bless America, Irving Berlin's very, very schlocky alternative national anthem. So in a way, it's grassroots music. It's the music of the mob, as opposed to maybe the music that people like me, who make their living, quote unquote, criticizing pop music, have generally embraced.
Well, there's so much to choose from. What should we go out on? I mean, Beyonce or Whitney Houston or Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
I don't want to miss the thing. I mean, what would you like to go out on?
How about Prince, Purple Rain? Can we do that?
We so can. What is that Purple Rain?
Nobody knows. I don't think Prince even knows.
But we love it.
We love it anyway.
Jody Rosen, a pop music critic for New York Magazine and Vulture.com. His article, In Defense of Schlock Music, Why Journey, Billy Joel, and Lionel Richie Are Better Than You Think, appears online, and we'll link you to it. Jody, what a pleasure. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Everybody, look, I'm still reeling from Joni Mitchell being on this list, but Jared Doing writes us, who doesn't belt out Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything when it comes on the radio? James Gardner nominates The Sweets, Love is Like Oxygen, your nominees at hearnow.org. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now.